Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Waddell. I touched Jim's phone.
We all saw it.
To my left.
Bryce Armstrong. To my front.
Andrew McKinley.
To my left.
A fully functioning Brett Welty. And to my left.
Jim Cole.
Welcome back, Jim.
We're back.
Jim, in the saddle.
You haven't heard our last episode, but we went stupid.
It was off the rails.
You weren't here, and we blamed you.
I'm sure it was excellent.
You keep us in line, apparently.
Which is
fine.
We went off the rails a little bit, especially at the beginning. It's just a half an hour of nonsense.
I don't even remember what we talked about.
Oh,
Envy? Was it Envy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, what do we?
Brandon forgot what we do.
Should we talk
about things?
Do we need to
talk about the Bible?
Do we need to update people on us?
Is there anything to update anybody on?
Some new shoes.
I saw those kicks. Those shoes are nice, dude. I'll make a comment about your shoes.
I got birthday money.
Yeah,
your shoes
are dope.
Those are nice shoes.
Are they on you right now?
Yeah,
they're still white. Yeah.
What?
They're still white.
Hoka's,
nice.
Man.
Those are nice.
They'll be white for about 5 minutes.
Well, the best part was I went and Bethany had a long work day today, and I dropped her off at home because she was melting down. And I'm like, sis, are you going to go? And she's like, no, I stay with you. I was like, all right, come with me. So it's just me and sis.
Nice.
Roaming around for shoes.
Bethany was melting down or sis?
Bethany was.
Okay.
She's having a meltdown.
You know.
Because she was sleepy.
She was sleepy. She needed to take a little nap.
I need far fewer things than that for me to melt down. So. She's tough.
Oh, yeah. But so that was fun. I got to hang out with my daughter.
That's good.
So you're
That's
what, cute. 31 years young now?
No. I'm 33.
Oh, okay. I was close.
I'll post all of Brandon's personal information down below.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Find me.
I dare you. The other
You'll be disappointed.
The other day. At my job, my part-time job, that we work in the same place.
He says we. You guys can't
Andrew,
see.
Me and Andrew.
This is Andrew.
Some of us. Who cares? No one really cares. I feel like as I was saying, I'm like, I don't really need to say that. But I was riding by, and this guy, I'm like the oldest guy there, and this guy was like, how old are you, man? And I told him how old I was, and I'm my birthday's next month, so I told him, well, I'll be 41 next month. And he said, 41? I mean, I thought you were like 37. I'm like, what is the difference? Between 41 and 37. I was like,
that's not much of a difference.
How old
bro.
Is he?
Well, I my perception would be early 30s.
Okay.
Okay.
So
let's say, like, if it's one of the 18 or 19 year olds working there,
that'd be
a big deal because that's still like, 20th of your life.
He's like an assistant supervisor or something. But yeah, no, he's probably early 30s, but I'm like, that's such an odd window.
Wait a minute.
Like, it wasn't that long ago I was 37, and I don't feel like I looked that different at 37, you know?
I met a 40-year-old this week that I guessed was definitely 25. Mm. I saw him, and I was like, yeah, 25. And he's like, 40 next month. Mm. What?
It was me.
Yeah, we met last week.
What are you taking to make you look so young?
Dude, it was crazy.
Ozempic.
Ozempic. Yeah, that because that makes you look younger.
No, that makes you look dead.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, why are we talking about being thin already?
Dead, 25.
Oh, dang.
Oh, we're not there yet.
No, we're not there yet. You can't be bringing, come on. You can't be bringing Ozempic in yet.
Stop with your transition.
Is that even in there? Should we talk about that?
Yeah, it's a good topic.
Ozempic. Yeah, anyone else have any crazy midlife updates? Or
midlife updates?
41.
Crises, yeah, or otherwise.
Andrew almost died.
I almost died getting squished between two forklifts at work, so that was cool. It was not as dramatic as it sounds. I was not allowed to see the video, which is weird. Like, I asked, and they're like, you don't want to watch that. And I'm like,
that's not how that works legally.
Because I mean, I don't care. I was just like, can we watch it? And they're like, oh, you don't want to. And why? I don't know what that means, but.
Because you'd have a legal case.
I'm
just kidding. I don't.
You probably would.
No, I don't know.
They did everything right as far as I can tell so far, like as far as accident report and stuff like that.
They better.
I think so.
Taking care of you, coddling you.
Yes.
Putting you back on a forklift and making you do a different job.
Yeah. Definitely not the job that I was medically cleared for, so that's a little sketchy.
And here we are.
Yeah. Okay. But so I got out of the way before two forklifts crashed into each other, but only mostly. They got a little bit caught and a little bit twisted around in the air. So I hurt, but I'm good. I'm not dead. I'm not minus a limb. So we're good.
Yes. We're happy you're here. We're happy you're safe.
Yes.
Me too. Thank you.
Me too. And speaking of you two.
The band?
You gonna do something?
I got some things, yeah.
You got something funny?
But like anyone else?
Oh, yeah. Anybody else? He's almost done with his dormer.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
So that's encouraging.
For the year.
For the year.
I got another year.
Another year.
To put it in?
Just putting sheetrock up right now, and I got about 40 sheets up there. Got another 10 to go. I'll start it again. I work on it in the cold.
You work on it in the cold?
You won't work on it in the summer for no reason.
Yeah, because, in the summer, I want to be outside. I got a garden. I got things to do.
Oh, yeah.
I got camping, fishing, you know, places to go. Yeah.
Digging dirt. Putting it back in the same hole.
In the winter, I'm locked inside, so.
That makes sense, actually.
That's a good break. That's a good way to
look at that. You're a different breed than us.
No, that would imply I could do anything in my attic.
Brad has a plaque that Andrew bought him. It says indoorsy. I resonate with that.
Sits in my bedroom. I just saw it this afternoon. I still have it.
Is it in your bedroom?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because we took all of our stuff off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because you redid your kitchen.
Yeah.
But not you.
No, I didn't do any of it.
Yeah. See, this is, like I said, different breed. You do your own stuff. We hire it.
Yeah.
Certain thing.
I don't.
Every of the thing, if I can.
Everything.
Usually the one thing that I didn't hire out for my kitchen is the one thing that's still not done. So there you go.
What's that?
Backsplash.
Oh.
Yeah.
Backsplash.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Backsplash.
Yeah, I don't have any crazy life updates.
All right. We got back from a cruise.
Cruise.
No one drowned.
No one drowned.
Was anyone even in the water?
Sharks in the water. No one drowned. Our ship was great. I want to go back
to that ship.
Well, a different ship would be cool. Icon, Star,
Alaskan, Titanic.
Not the Titanic.
Oh, I can never get
it. I'm naming Royal ships.
Lone Star.
That one's, I don't know, stuck.
Stark doesn't even come out until July.
That one's stuck in the bottom of the ocean.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not to bring that up.
No, a bunch of rich people should build their own submarine and go down and take a look.
Ooh. Oh.
You know they did.
Oh.
Best thing to do is make it so it works with an Xbox controller.
Oh. No.
Hold on.
That was also part of it. The crunchy submarine was controlled by an Xbox controller. We're just gonna do a little bit of get to know us better with some questions.
Oh
yeah,
I like
some
it.
Fun stuff.
Oh man! All
right, this first one, I actually don't know if I even have an answer to it yet. But
okay,
icebergs.
Is there anything out there in the world that you feel isn't defined enough that it has its own word, like a feeling you get, or an object, or a, you know, something that would be a word you'd add to the dictionary if you could?
I'm sure there is a word, but I don't know what the word is. Mm. It's the thing that happens when a smell creates a brings you to a memory or a place. Whatever that's actually called, I don't know. I'm sure there's a term for it, but
you know the word.
No, it's probably a whole phrase. It's probably not like a word for it. Yeah, but
whatever that is,
give it a word.
Yeah, that would be the thing.
All right. That's a great.
For me, it'd be like the when every once in a while you get that weird feeling where you're just out in public. And it feels like you're lucid dreaming, but it's actually real.
Deja vu.
It happens like if you're in like the last movie at a theater and it gets out at like midnight or 12:30 or something like that. When you and the people that were in that movie are leaving and there's nothing else in the parking lot at the mall. Yeah. It's literally just 15 it's cars. Like yeah. 15 cars and a bunch of families leaving.
And nothing else was light out.
Yeah, when you got there, the sun was still up and the mall was packed. And when you leave, it's literally just no one but the people that were in the movie.
The
with you.
Mall was packed. Pause.
Okay, so the mall wasn't packed.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know, working in the restaurants, you're the last guy to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, it's busy all day. It's been noisy, and you walk out, and there's like nothing.
It used to happen a lot when I worked at a call center, where I'd get out at midnight or something like that, and you're driving home, and it's like,
yeah,
this literally feels like. Maybe like the town is like, or like the city you're in is at like 10% capacity or something like that.
Yeah.
But
I have one. The feeling when you feel like you're all alone and you feel like somebody's just watching you.
Somebody's just because I am.
Oh. Or even, I guess not even just alone, but like in a crowd and you just feel like the hairs on the back of your neck stand up and it's like someone's staring at you. And then you turn around and someone is. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. Or yeah, I don't know.
I have another one. It's going to feel like a personal attack to Jim, and it's not meant to. The smell of a tent when you wake up from camping. I hate it. It's the single reason I don't like camping.
Really?
Whatever that smell or the vibe is when you wake up on the ground in your and you smell whatever that concoction of your sleeping bag and
that
the
word
Teflon.
Is, that word is mold.
Whatever it is, that smell, that thing is like.
Brett, you're supposed to clean your tent.
Yeah. The tent, yeah, the tents today and the tents I grew up with, completely different smell.
Fair.
The canvas tent.
Old canvas is
no,
a whole different
thing. So that'd be cool, but mine have never been canvas.
Whole different thing.
Yeah, we grew up with plastic.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Plastic wrap.
So I know you like to camp, Jim. That's not
oh,
that's
made
of camp.
Dead dinosaurs.
I love to camp.
Got one, Brandon?
Ha.
There's a Jim.
There's you remember something that I don't know, it might have been painful physically or something, and it just causes this thing inside of you. I call it pucker. I don't have a word for it. It's like, it just gives you that cringe when you think about it.
So these are all good things. Mm-hmm. So all good answers, and I have none to contribute.
I'll give you another
because
one.
Because I have no idea.
The feeling you get when you get an email you know you don't want to read.
Oh.
And you're like, having to like muscle through it.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. That's the thing. I'd put a name on it.
Mine usually goes archive.
I need to send this to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Be like, hey, could you just diagnose this, please?
Or just give us all the actual names for these things, because they probably have names for all of them.
Yes.
My therapist already gave me names for those, and usually it's rage.
that's rage.
But he's a biblical counselor, you know, not like a... Like a, it's like a he's like, it's
what's the name for the smell that happens after the rain?
Rage.
That was just question one.
What's your next question?
Oh, yeah.
Question.
Okay. All right.
Great question.
Oh, yeah. I got to ask questions.
I think we've talked about superpowers before. So you get to pick.
If you're going
to
talk, could you talk in your mic?
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, thanks.
How's this? Can you hear me?
Close enough.
That hurts. I shouldn't sit that way. Oh. All right. All right. So if you had to pick between teleportation or flying.
Teleportation.
Teleportation.
Hands down.
How much risk in flying?
I want to get there faster.
Yep.
I'm torn.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, flying, you get to look down and see everything.
Mm-hmm. But I could teleport to the top of a building.
Well, if you teleport to the wrong place.
That's true.
And then I could look down.
I was teleport to the jet going by.
Yeah.
I was thinking of how, like, flying is probably a more satisfying and enjoyable experience than teleportation.
How fast can you fly?
Then I thought about, you know what you could do, though, is, like, teleport up, fall, put a portal, fall into it, and teleport out at an angle so you've launched yourself. And then just do, like, little teleport, make them slightly further away than each other until you've made yourself a rail gun. And you just kind of, I'm doing both.
I listened to a podcast, and it was an interview of a pastor, John Piper, and he said that he doesn't care where he lives, like aesthetically or when it comes to like temperature, or he lives somewhere because of the people, right? So he's in Minneapolis because of his church or his family or whatever. How many of you guys, if you had your way, would prefer to live somewhere based on climate versus...
Yes.
Yes.
See, I'm not that way.
I don't.
I do not care.
Wait, let him finish the question.
No, I don't care what. I don't. That is the question. The question is
the other.
Would you rather live somewhere based on climate or based on factors that are not aesthetic?
I think in the end, it's about relationship. I really do. I think.
Yeah, but I could take my family with me.
Then you've taken your family with you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're on a deserted island, you want somebody with you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, you do.
You want a pile of money or you want somebody with you?
I always want someone with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always.
See, right?
Brandon,
so
don't leave
people,
my side.
People, I think in the end, people will always trump everything else.
I do too.
See ya.
We might not think about it, but we get into that nice warm climate and it's just us and a lot of idiots around us. We're gonna wish we were back.
Yeah. Whoa,
Florida man!
I spent exactly like 16 hours in Miami before the trip. How long was it?
Well, too long. Dude.
Too long.
Miami was way too much. Awful. Miami, I'm sorry, if you live in Miami.
Miami's wild.
The Miami airport was the dirtiest airport I've ever
Miami
been.
Miami is not.
I never want to go back there.
I'm so sorry to the CSIs that have to work in Miami.
So it is. We didn't know this. We went on the first day of spring break to the beach.
Whoops. Mm.
We didn't know it was spring break. We Ubered to the beach. It was so disgusting.
It's wild.
In Miami. I don't want to go back to Miami. If I can go anywhere else, that'd be fine.
St. Pete's is nice. Clear water's nice.
Yeah.
So nice. The Gulf side's always really nice.
When it comes to calculating, I have aesthetic things don't really appeal to me, period. So, like, going to visit family in Denver, the mountains are nice, but, like, I'm not, like, I could not be without these mountains. I just don't get it. I'm just not wired that way.
I just hate the snow. Not the snow. I hate the cold.
You're picking out a small piece of it. But I get what you're saying.
That's you said the climate. Like the climate was the.
But there's more.
So what you want to do instead of move to a climate is you want to bring a climate to your family.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Well, don't worry.
I'll say
just
yes
keep
and no.
Asking Taylor Swift to run our jets, and we'll be just.
one thing I like about camping is exploring, but I love exploring best with people.
Yeah.
Right. So
you don't camp alone.
I have done it before, and I'm okay with it. I love doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll grab Malachi, who's 6, take him with me, and we'll go explore together, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's just showing people the things that you love and experience it with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would also say living in a boring place means everywhere you go is more awesome. So
also true.
Is easy.
Sioux City, I don't know how many of you don't live here, how many people don't live in Sioux City. If you've ever visited Sioux City, not that great. Not that many things to do here. So going anywhere else is pretty awesome.
I still like here better than Miami.
Just go to the Black Hills. It's like, hey, man, this is awesome. Yeah. It's a little typography.
Look at those mountains.
Exactly.
I'll change my answer to both.
Okay.
That's not how it works.
If I could take all the people I love with me to the best climate, you bet your butt I would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
nice climates usually come with worse natural disasters, though.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of hurricanes.
I'm not a fan.
We don't really have anything crazy here, so that's
especially
pretty
by a river. We don't have tornadoes, really.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, right. I Shanghai'd your whole deal here. Go
next question.
That's right. All right. So, all of a sudden, every day has 25 hours instead of 24. What do you do with your extra hour?
Sleep.
I had a birthday like that, right on like daylight savings time kind of thing, right? Nice. So I got a whole extra hour in my birthday,
nice.
Which I got wasted on.
Okay, all right.
Probably well, slept it off or something stupid.
I know what I
this
did.
This was last week.
I wouldn't do it now, but I know what I would
This was last week.
It was my 21st birthday
in
Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That's the place.
No more needs to be said.
Did everyone else say
okay,
sleep?
So, yeah. I haven't determined.
Oh, okay.
I would not sleep. I would do something.
Tell more jokes.
I should sleep. That should be the thing.
Okay, let's be honest. Yeah. I'm staying up and playing video games.
I'm going to kill another hour.
Yeah.
I have another hour to do nothing. I'm going to play
Is
video
it
games.
Productive?
No.
If we could go on trial for killing time, I'd be on death row.
Yeah.
Put another piece of sheetrock up.
There it is.
Just one more. Are you saying it takes you an hour to do one piece?
No.
No.
Well, based off your answer.
Yeah. Depends on the piece. Oh. It's in an attic.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. Every cut is unique.
That's fair.
No doubt.
Oh, your bottle looks sad.
Dude, I dropped it underneath.
A semi?
No. Elliptical. And just annihilated.
Ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk. Yeah. I hear it.
Stickers over it.
I can hear it without being there.
Yeah. It was tough. What
there
else
should be a word. Is there a word for that?
I am slow, though.
What?
I am slow.
The comedic timing of I'm slow there was incredible.
That was great, dude. Oh my gosh.
So good. So good.
Did I give an answer?
I don't think
you have.
Yeah, what do you got? Yeah.
I send more jokes. I tell more jokes.
Oh.
Nice.
You do good at that.
I make people laugh.
So you're gonna set out for that extra hour a day just to go sing.
I'm just going
to
stand on the corner and go
hit 4th Street. Hey, just be like,
hey, have you ever been to a barbecue? Me neither. And be like, oh, get out of here.
I only had an extra this hour to prepare this set.
This
You're
is a mall.
Extremely unrelatable.
This is a mall.
Sir, this is a Wendy.
Sir,
dang
it.
It's closed.
1 second. You beat dang me.
It.
1 second.
Andrew, you're a faster thinker than I am sometimes.
Oh,
when it comes to jokes,
sometimes. When we went to the island, the cruise zones, Cocoa Key, they've got like different parts, and one of them is Chill Island is the name of the section. And we're walking up, I go, "Welcome to Chill Island." My wife almost spit some drink, which was like, whenever I can get Brittany to like really deep laugh or like lose like spit or something like that, that makes it all better. If I'm having a bad day, makes it all better.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. Next question, huh? If you had to delete all but 3 apps from your smartphone, which ones would you keep? And I should say, let's say that so text message, web browser, and phone call don't count as apps, even though they're FaceTime's part of phone call, I think. So let's keep that. So say things
extra
that you've downloaded since you bought the phone
extra
that weren't originally on the phone.
I get to keep 3.
You get to keep 3 that you've downloaded that weren't originally on the phone.
Can I still access things through my web browser? Can I still go to Netflix and Disney Plus through my web browser?
Sure.
Actually, I don't think you can.
I don't know.
You can't because it's going to force you to download.
They link you, yeah.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
My Bible app. I'm going to keep that.
Yep. All right.
Yeah.
Probably my Fox News. And my Sam's.
That's
and
a little base, buddy.
And my Sam's Scan and Go.
Yes. That's
a good one.
That's a good one.
Man, that was quick, Jim. I am not going to be that fast.
I would keep Substack, Spotify. What's the other one? I don't have that many apps on my phone anyways. Most likely, man, that's a tough one.
Oh, shoot, this is hard, dude.
Maybe I would keep like a sports app to watch the Lakers.
I would keep Google Docs. I would keep
Logos.
Thought of that
one. And I would keep Gmail.
I'm keeping.
So I will say, Gmail would work in the browser. You could still access your email. So
you get a free
one there. You can have one more.
Just thinking of the ones I would.
You could still go to gmail.com on your phone and it'll still work. Yeah.
That will still work.
Yeah, I don't need that much.
I would.
My banking app.
Ooh, so that makes me wonder. Good one.
Again, browser.
Yeah. I'll tell. I,
oh, that's true.
That makes me wonder. Like, you, yeah. You can go to Bible Gateway. But what if I get almost any version of the Bible?
Yeah. But what if I don't have
so
a
So do you need your Bible
phone?
App if you can go to BibleGateway.com?
That's true.
Yeah.
What if I don't have a browser already on my phone?
I mean,
it just sucks.
So we're talking about smartphones specifically.
But
so.
He doesn't have a browser.
I could get away with just two then.
Block.
Really? I would just. I would love to do less on my phone.
Yeah.
So, I actually would love to go back to a BlackBerry and just have emails and text messages.
What a great phone the BlackBerry was.
Right.
Too bad they didn't.
I think I would.
Transition enough.
If they would, I would go back to it. Just.
Yeah. I'm keeping ChatGPT.
Don't admit you use it. You got to pretend like you don't like everybody
I don't
else.
Care.
Also, by the way, here's a pro tip. If you see anybody post anything on social media, it's got little weird like emojis that no one uses.
ChatGPT.
If you're going to use it, delete them out.
Because the AI feels bad for the emojis.
Yeah.
The AI feels.
I'm glad you're thinking about this, Bryce.
I have a lot of apps. That's the problem. TikTok, I'm keeping TikTok.
Keep a guitar tuner.
And
the tuna. Yeah, it is. Guitar tuna.
And I'm keeping my McDonald's app.
That's smart.
That's a sneaky good one. My Casey's app. No, Upside. I would have to keep Upside. I use Upside all the time.
That is relevant to the discussion tonight.
What? Listen. I can tell you the last time I went to McDonald's, and it was not recently.
Because Becca took away all your money. She said you got no budget for that no more, bro.
She also said that I'm overweight and I need to stop eating it. Look how many points I have. I have 55,000 points.
That's a lot of points. Why don't you just cash them in?
I've been banned from going to McDonald's.
Yeah, but it's not like your last purchase gave you 51,000 points.
And it says I have 14,000 points expiring soon, so maybe I should use them.
Go get a frappe or something.
March 1st they expire. Or no.
You're like the guy who doesn't use his PTO and it's a use it or lose it situation. Yeah. Sheesh.
I'd be guilty of that.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Recents. Here's last time. Oh.
Like speaking of being fat, which I am. I was
Are
legit.
We transitioning?
I was not yet. Hold on. I was legit upset that, like, one of the things that they don't make a thing you can spend on points at McDonald's is just a pop.
I know.
Exactly.
I know.
I would just go get a free soda once in a while.
Yeah.
If they would let me.
They
no.
basically already give it away. It's like, what, $1.39?
It's a dollar. Yeah. It's a
dollar. March 1st was the last time I went because we were going to Omaha for the trip as a family. Before that was February 17th, just for myself. So it's been a while.
That's not that long. I mean, that it's
been
like
for me. Do you want to see my history before
no.
that?
No.
It was a
he
lot.
He got a meal and then a $5 meal.
I can't eat the $5 meal. It's got chicken in it.
I've told that story on the podcast.
He sends me the nugs.
Stupid McDonald's receipts.
So
you guys want one more?
I got one more.
One more. One more.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We'll do a food one because we don't talk about gluttony.
Gluttony. Mutant gluten.
All right. Let's go with... Man, there were a bunch of these that I was thinking about, but now I don't know which one to do. Okay, if you had to have one meal that is a meal once a day for the rest of your life. You can still eat other stuff, but this is one of your meals every day for the rest of your life.
Does it have to be health? It can be whatever I want.
Anything I want?
It can be anything you want. It's just you have to eat it once every day.
I would eat this meal every day for the rest of my life, every meal. Combination pizza from Townhouse. I would eat it every day of my life.
Really?
Every day of my life. I think it is the best.
What's on the combo?
It's got black olives, green olives, every kind of meat. Everything. It's just everything you could want.
Supreme and then more.
Yeah. Okay. So any Supreme pizza anywhere I could eat. I think Supreme pizza is the greatest thing that I never get.
Supreme pizza makes me sad, but that's because I'm picky. Like, I taste like...
You know, we're
like,
a lot alike in a lot of ways. That's not one.
There's three good things I really like, and then a bunch of stuff is like, oh, that flavor makes it worse.
I'm with you, though. I love Supreme pizza.
But I am a picky child.
But I wouldn't... That wouldn't be my meal for every day, though.
Oh, I could do it. I love pizza.
I eat like pizza. A seven-year-old.
Yep.
I
like pizza.
I'm the one that just
I'm a pizza boy.
sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle.
Oh, good choice.
With a Coke.
Fascinating.
The meal, it's a number six. Sorry, a number six breakfast.
Maybe. I mean, you're going from memory.
It might be number six. It could have changed since February 17th.
I'm going to go with steak, mashed potatoes.
That's a good one.
I
just had that the other day.
Asparagus tips.
Yeah, there you go.
I would. Thank you. I would get myself, give me some salmon.
Every day?
Yeah, every day. I love salmon.
Wow.
Yeah, just like honey salmon with a little bit of sea salt.
That sounds so good, honestly.
Mm. You don't want no maple on that?
No, just honey, man. When I make salmon and I put it in the stove, I lather that sucker with honey. Sweetens that crap up. So good.
So we all know Andrew would take dino nuggies.
Gluten-free dino nuggies.
Waiter, I haven't gotten my dino nuggets yet. And my chalky milk.
Chalky milk. Okay, Winnie.
There's a lot of protein in chocolate.
With Winnie, it's chocomilky.
Chocomilky.
Get it right, Uncle Bobo.
Oh my gosh.
Get it right, Uncle Bobo.
You know this, there's a story in the Bible about this.
Chocolate milk?
No. Same meal every day.
Dino chicken nuggets?
Oh. It's called manna.
It's called manna.
It's called the Daniel fast.
And I tell you what.
Don't try to keep it in a jar or you'll regret it.
Yeah.
Because it goes bad.
Yeah.
I think my actual, if I had to have like a one thing, the same thing, it'd probably be just like the normal Chick-fil-A sandwich meal.
Number one?
Yeah.
Number one.
With no pickle.
Add cheese, no pickle. Add pepper jack, specifically. Ooh. Add pepper jack, no pickle.
Smart. Little spice.
Say smirt.
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 Little spicy.
See, could you imagine, though? I mean, like you're walking next to your friend, right? And you're saying...
You go like,
what'd you have for dinner?
What'd you eat? Manna.
Like, we've been friends for years and you don't know this.
Manna.
Manna.
Manna or quite.
Moo. I'll tell you what, I'd probably be one of the complainers. You know, because I picture it as pancakes, and pancakes are not at the top of my list. I'm like, again?
I could eat pancakes every day.
I think that's another pancake.
Front runner. I like me some pancakes.
My grandma makes great pancakes.
Green pancakes?
Great.
Oh.
I've had green pancakes too.
Me too.
The spinach ones.
I like when you go to a restaurant, it's like a diner kind of a thing, or you know, just like a greasy spoon or whatever. And you
just took a fake.
You're like, I'm gonna get the pancakes, and you order more than two, and they're like, are you sure?
They're ginormous.
Yeah,
they're
huge. So these don't fit on the plate. So you got to do the syrup careful, okay? Like it's like that.
We don't want to clean up your mess. Yeah.
Was it Horizon? Is that what we got here in town? Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On the menu, it's like pancake, and I'm like, so how many are there? Like just one. It's like, could I get? You don't want more than one. Trust me.
Sir, have you seen me?
If you eat two, you're going to need a nap right away.
Perfect.
That sounds amazing.
I am. Okay.
So shout out to people making giant pancakes.
I love giant pancakes.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I could eat.
We're really getting ready to relate to this episode.
I'm really hungry.
We keep talking about food.
Yeah.
And our subject today is about gluttony. So we're on the seven deadly sins.
Mm-hmm.
We've only got two more after this.
Wow, I can't believe that.
That's crazy.
We have wrath and sloth.
Wow.
And then we're done.
Andrew's favorite one.
Mm-hmm. Wrath?
Wrath.
Wrath.
Exactly.
Rage. But yes, today we are talking about...
Rage.
Gluttony. So the definition of gluttony is overindulgence and lack of self-control, not just in food, but also in drink, in entertainment, and material possessions. So the root issue is seeking self-gratification over trusting God for provision. A couple of Bible verses to get us into this subject is Proverbs 23, verses 20 through 21. It says, do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat or for drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Philippians 3:19 says their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. And then 1 Corinthians 10:31, or if you're British, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So why is gluttony dangerous? Why should we be talking about gluttony today? Why does that matter for the Christian life? Because we don't hear that a lot. We just don't hear a lot of sermon subjects.
It's hard to live a godly life when you're dead because you had a heart attack.
Well,
that's very practical.
That's very yes. You had something, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, it has a lot to do with self-control. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, this perceived need, per se. I was blessed with a really high metabolism.
Yeah.
And so I eat a lot. Even at my age, I eat more than average. But when I was young, it was one of the things that God dealt with me early on. And I don't know if you know Jesse, so I don't know if he's ever talked about it. But by 18 tacos for the family, right? I ate 9.
Yeah.
And I stopped because, it just got ridiculous.
Yeah, we've talked about it. Yeah.
I mean, I'd sit down and I'd eat an entire package of hot dogs and buns. At one setting.
Well, that means you ate 2 dry buns.
Yeah. that's what I did. You really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I ate it all.
What else am I going to do with these 2 buns? Make long peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
When I was growing up, it was the rule that I had to actually take last. So when they passed the food around to the table, I had to wait for everybody else to have it before I could have it.
Wow.
I went to school with a dude that, like, when we were, so this was when I was a choir nerd, and we would do the Allstate. Okay, sure. Yeah, I still am. But we were doing the Allstate thing during the summer. So it was just us meeting for like a camp to practice the songs and do stuff like that. And we'd all go out to lunch together, and we went to Taco Bell. This guy got the family pack. It was like back when they had like 5 burritos, 5 tacos, Mexican pizza, a couple sides and a drink. Or like in like 2 or 3 drinks.
Like 3 drinks.
Yeah. And it was, and he got that. And I was like, oh, who all's eating that? But he's like, nah, it's for me. And he was not as big as me. And it made me mad.
Yeah. I'm not a real big guy.
Yeah. I'm upset that you don't look like I do because of that. And he's like, yeah, I get this every time. I was like, that's food for 4 people, man. Yeah.
So from what I'm getting, and
now
viewing
looks awful.
Yeah.
So I'm happy.
His best gift. I'm sorry. His bad. That's wrath.
I know.
That's
wrath.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about.
That's next week, Andrew.
No, from what I'm getting at is it just seems like gluttony or lack of self-control can spill over into how much we put into our body or consume or purchase. Kind of thing. It seems like, so from my notes, it's spiritual consequences of gluttony. It puts comfort and pleasure over dependence on God. It can lead to idolatry, and it dulls our spiritual sensitivity. And then the physical and emotional consequences, it's a lack of discipline in one area that can spill over into other areas, can lead to health problems, financial waste, and emotional emptiness. It's that constant trying to get a dopamine hit off of, say, consuming a cheeseburger. Because, I mean, they taste good. Like, it tastes really good.
Oh, yeah.
And there's only, like, if I just had this, I'd feel really good right now. Or if I had this.
Last piece of pizza.
Yeah.
Oh,
I want that one.
Yeah. If I had it, I'd be fine.
It would fix me right now.
I wouldn't need anything else. Or overconsumption often makes There's a deeper spiritual hunger and overconsumption. There's something that we're trying to fill the gap in, which God should be filling that gap, not the things that we consume.
See, gluttony seems to have like a trust factor with it that we, like, have you ever seen someone that looks like they're eating like they don't know where their next meal is coming from, kind of a thing?
Yeah.
I remember when we were doing classes before adopting. Even though we weren't fostering, but we still took all the same classes as people who were going to foster. And they talked about how it's very common for kids in the system to hoard food.
Yep.
Like, especially like if you have like snacks out, they're going to just, you're going to find them in their backpack or whatever they have that they would feel like is their safe spot to keep stuff. And I'm not saying that the kids doing that is sinful. That's trauma. That's different.
Yeah.
But we do the same thing, just, you know, we act, you know, we'll, you know, maybe you have like the people that coupon real hard and have like the basements full of
sure.
non-perishables and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it is just like how we eat, you know, we'll order that second sandwich with our meal because
not necessarily.
Yeah. Because you don't need it. You don't need 2000 more calories or whatever it is.
It's true.
But
I would start with two.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, there was a time.
A second,
there was
a Big time. Mac, a fish sandwich, a large fry, large drink. Yeah, that was my go-to.
There was a time when
I absolutely dig.
I've in the last few years tried to curb that, but it used to be that it'd be like if we go to McDonald's, it's like, all right, I'm getting two sandwiches, fries, a drink. Do I want another one? That was the decision to make. Was like the third sandwich.
Yeah.
And not no McDouble either, like the big ones. You know, like the quarter pounder or something like that.
Biggies.
Yeah.
And I think that it's all, maybe it's not necessarily that you're worried about where your next meal's coming from, but you're trying to fill a lack of happiness or joy or something with it.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what, that's going to make me feel better.
There's the trust, though, because my grandfather was a chicken farmer. So there was a time in my life that I remember very vividly that I ate chicken or eggs three times a day.
Holy moly.
And so I don't know if that pushed that so that when I had food, I ate it.
I don't think the amount of food we consume definitely or is the sole benchmark for what gluttony is. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately, like all the other seven deadly sins we've been looking at, it's ultimately a spiritual issue. If we're thinking about the comparison between them and like the fruit of the spirit, you know, this would be directly related to self-control. And I think it's very easy for us to not want to be self-controlled and very easy to want to just give over to, okay, this is good, and so I want more of it. And so what I think is interesting about gluttony is that you have both fasting and feasting in the Bible, and so how does that go together? So obviously, the logical response to gluttony would be to fast, but I don't know that that's the only logical answer because there's also some sort of, well, we just read, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. So eating a Big Mac to the glory of God is not something that is necessarily off the table, or just because it's not the caliber of food that person A would put in their body doesn't mean that it's gluttony or something that is, you know, sinful in and of itself. So I don't have any answers, but just some thoughts about.
I don't think it's necessarily about like just about food.
No, it's not.
We have our culture is built on consumption and materialism.
Yeah. Well, what's the John Foreman's lyrics? Success is equated with excess.
Basically
is that. If you have more than you need, then you're doing all right.
Because the line of work I'm in at the moment is I go into a lot of people's homes, and so I see a lot of their stuff. And there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of stuff. And I'm not going to assume that it's because they're trying to fill a gap in their heart. But it could be.
Oh.
Like you buy things because like, I'm going to buy this book because it really makes me feel good right now. Because I'm not satisfied with my life. And so I think that this material item might bring some sort of satisfaction to me. But that's not healthy either. Spiritually, it's not healthy. And being a good steward, it's not healthy if you don't have, say, the finances to be buying a $30 book every week or multiple days a week. That would be bad too. That would be gluttonous because you're longing for something to fill that piece of yourself that only God can fill. And that's not good. And it's a countercultural act too to say, I'm not going to overconsume because God commands me to be content with what I have rather than to store up treasures on earth. He says to store up treasures in heaven and to look in that mindset. That's why I wear mostly the same outfit. I don't really change my out like I don't really buy anything outside of the spectrum of black. But it's not because, I mean, it's my favorite thing to wear. But it's also because, oh my, am I trying to wear this flashy, bright colored, like, graphic tee for attention? Or am I doing it because I like it? Most of the time, it's because I'm trying to make a statement. At least for me. And so I just wear all black. Because I'm like, that's what I normally wear. And that's what I always revolve back to. And so it's a discipline for me. Because it's like, it doesn't matter what I wear. It's about who I'm serving. And that's a mentality I've had with it when it comes to like consumerism and minimalism and stuff like that. So
I think in today's culture, the term consume probably is a better way for us to try to understand gluttony.
Yeah.
Because consuming could be anything. I could be, you know, as a consumer, what am I purchasing? What am I going after? So it's that it broadens the picture from just eating.
Yeah.
So what am I consuming?
Yeah. What are you binging?
Social media.
Way to say it. What are you, binge watching?
Right.
It's gluttonous to sit and watch 4 hours of a TV show. You know, you're still just sitting there taking in and not producing. You know, you're not doing anything. You're not achieving anything.
It's almost getting lost in whatever it is you're consuming, whether it's a television program, a game.
Yeah.
Music,
social media. There's an idiom that says scrolling is the new smoking.
Yeah.
Because it's a constant dopamine hit with the algorithm. Coming from a person that struggles with smoking, I understand where that's coming from. Like, it's like, oh yes, that cigarette might make me feel good for a second, but then I'm gonna really want another one afterwards. And so it's like with scrolling, you start like, oh yeah. That's not enough. Let's just keep going for hours and hours.
Remember the scientists from Twitter talked about how they designed the ding to like wake up a certain part of your brain and make you feel excited, like you want something every time it dings.
Holy
moly. Like, ooh, that's evil. All right. Whoa.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wouldn't gluttony be whatever that feeling is? We're just talking about like putting a name on something earlier. And what is the name of that thing when the episode's ending or the meal is ending? Or the thing is ending, and that appetite to say, can I just do one more? I see one more sandwich? Watch one more episode. Listen to one more song. Scroll 10 minutes longer. Oh, okay, I've been on this for 20. If I do 10 more, then it's only 30, and then I can go do that. Then I'll go empty the dishwasher.
Oh, like, it's doom.
Those calculations.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Doom.
No, but those are the calculations. I think that like where the rubber meets the rubber on gluttony is that. Like, are we going to
sin? Agreed.
The sin is... do I continue down this path? And that's not to say that the actual things we're talking about, watching an episode of whatever, or we're not saying these things are innately sinful. That's not the point. Right. Like, don't hear us say, okay, you can't have a TV show. You can't scroll. I mean, we're not saying that. What we're saying is like there comes a point, and we all know it. And those of you that are spiritually awake to see this, you know, like there's a draw that all of this stuff has to keep you in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is, do we stay in it and potentially move in a direction that is counterproductive? Or do we say, that was enough, I will practice some self-control, and I'll move on to something else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the root of it.
Take another bite.
Yeah. Well, you would, and I like that about you.
Yeah, but take another bite. Well, even you know, it's interesting the way they do television now. It used to be you had these commercial breaks at specific times, right?
Yeah.
Every station did it the exact same way, same time format. But now the next episode starts 60 seconds before the end of the hour.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden you're watching the next episode.
Yeah. Mm. And they have the credits rolling in a small little box.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I was at a hotel last week and I saw that.
And so that another bite, that next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're already next in it.
Like, you haven't gotten up yet, but hey. Try this.
It's the autoplay.
Yeah. And I think I want to also make sure that we look at the fact that it's not just a lack of control. It's also like a pride and a self-worship thing.
Sure.
I mean, if you get into the advertisement side of it, it's you deserve one more.
That's
right. You've worked hard today. You need a little treat.
Yeah. Take a break. Put your feet up.
It's instant gratification.
Well, I don't think that we often think about for gluttony, but you deserve the better version or the best. I think that was a big thing in
the Screwtape Letters. With C.S. Lewis was talking about how like
it's a good
the what do you call him, the patient? Said make sure that he only gets his cigars from this one shop because that guy rolls them the best and it's the best kind of thing. It's like, and he deserves the best. Mm. Or no, his mom taught him that because she only likes a certain perfectly brewed cup of tea from this one tea shop. And if you don't do it like that, then it's not the best and it's not good enough for her. And it's like the same idea. Who doesn't? And like, we'll put some words on it to make it feel good. It's like, my family deserves better than that. You know, I'm doing this for my kids. They get the best, you know, they get the best education. They get the best. Yeah.
So it's not just about quantity. It's about
quality.
The whole enchilada.
Yeah. And it's about, I deserve better. My family deserves better. We deserve
the American dream.
Yeah.
That word is a really, it's like overused in our culture. Deserve. The word deserve, you know, you're watching a talent show. Mom says to her daughter that's going to go on to it, you deserve this, right? Really? Why?
Hey, if we all got what we deserve,
we'd be in hell.
Ooh.
Right?
Whoops.
That's the scary part about the deserve side of it, but I get what you're saying. And it flies contrary to being content, which we're supposed to be content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, one more slice of pizza would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and what's interesting is there is so much, at least in our culture, that plays against being content. I've heard people say, well, if you're broke in America, it's like starving in a grocery store. Well, that's not true. First of all, I could starve very easily at a grocery store.
I'm very picky.
The food's not all very made there, by the
everything
way.
Everything at Trader Joe's is gross.
Hey.
Whoa, you just offended him.
Yeah, $7 like asparagus water.
But hey, no.
Gross. Asparagous water?
Come on.
It's a plastic cup. Do they actually have that? Single asparagus in it.
They actually have that?
Google asparagus water.
I won't.
That's disgusting.
That sounds terrible. It'll make my urine stink. Well...
Somewhere in there, I think the point about the grocery store was, you know, this idea that we can all get everything we want if we just work hard enough, desire it hard enough. Hopefully you guys have never read the book Think and Grow Rich.
I can't read.
No, don't read that one. I've read it, and it talks about in there, they call it definiteness. Is that right?
Definite?
No, like definiteness.
Yeah.
Of purpose is what it's called.
Okay.
And it's this idea where if you want something, just think about it all day, dream about it, talk about it, pursue it. And
it's like manifesting your...
Well, that's what they call it now, but this has been like the 40s, whenever the
book was obsession.
Same idea. But essentially, it's an unhealthy obsession with the thing you want. And typically, that book, it's business, it's money, it's success, and whatever. But the point is that stuff permeates our culture. And as Christians that live... You can try to live in a bubble all you want, but you're just not going to get away from the fact that these things will enter your transom in some way. And so we all get there. We all are like, okay, maybe I do need a newer car. Maybe I do want a better vacation. Maybe I do need a nicer house. Maybe I do need another 15 grand and I need to go apply for more jobs, you know, or whatever. All these things could be good things. You might need a new car. You might need a bigger house because your family's expanding. You might need a different job, whatever. That's not the point, but like, why?
Yeah.
I think the question of the seven deadly sins is why? Why are we doing what we're doing? Because if we don't know why, we're going to default to making the wrong choices. If I don't know why I want that extra piece of pizza or that fifth episode or what, if I don't know why, if I'm not awake to it, I think that's why the New Testament talks about being sober-minded, being thoughtful. Mm-hmm. Like if we're not being thoughtful, the world will definitely tell us what to think, and it's never right.
Oh, and they want to tell you what to think.
Correct.
There was a shift in the after World War II. That I think a lot of the global leaders and specifically the American leaders and economists wanted to shift. I can't remember the book. I'll find the book and maybe I'll mention it in the next episode. But it was, we need to shift the American economy from a needs economy to a desires economy. So what we want. And you've seen that shift.
Oh yeah.
And...
Well, I don't know if we saw the shift. I think we grew up in the shift.
Well, we didn't grow up. We were at the tail end. Like,
right. We grew
it's
up.
It's complete.
Yeah. They succeeded in that, dude. We were pushed. Everything was pushed on us.
Is that when the horse and car flip happened?
Like it went from like your status used to be if you had a car or not, and now it's if you have horses or not.
Yeah.
Now yeah. Only rich people have horses.
Only because they're so people. Expensive.
Only, and this is weird. Okay, this is kind of off the subject, but this is a weird flip that my grandpa told me. He's like, when he grew up, the poor people lived by the river. And now the rich people live by the river and the poor people live in the city. So there's been a weird, there's always a shift in manipulation to get us to what our hearts, our corrupt hearts desires are.
Yeah.
And they really know how to pull the strings of that.
Yeah. I'm a very giant consumerist. Like Brandon and I are very, very, very different. He's a minimalist and I am, I love consuming.
You're a stuffist.
I love stuff and Brandon always talks to me about minimalism and I don't comprehend it. Like I cannot understand it. And
I didn't for a while. So.
And so it's not that I don't want to, it's that I can't get past the fact that I like cool things and new things. And it's something that I really need to break, but I don't know how.
Well,
I don't know how to break
it. I look how I talk to my kids when they are disappointed that they can't get something. But I'm like, but is our life about stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I have the same conversation with my children.
And I try to, but I tell that to myself too. I'm like, when I look around and I'm looking at books, and I'm like, well, do I need this? Do I want this? I'm like, I really want it right now. But if I walked away from it, am I going to think about it again? Probably not. And so it's this dialogue that I'm having with myself constantly. Like don't think I've just come to a conclusion and I've made it to the top of the hill. Like I'm constantly talking to myself, like talking myself out of things, and sometimes I don't. And so it's not just it's not an arrival thing.
I do the same thing, but then I'll come back. The issue is like I'll see that thing, and then it will eat away at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come back to it. I'll go to the website and just research the thing and do the thing and I'll want the thing. Yeah. And then it's just eating at me.
Yeah.
And
right now it's a lightsaber he wants real bad.
It's definitely not a lightsaber.
Oh, that's me.
Fortunately, right now, okay, that's not true. There is one thing that I want right now and it's to go on another vacation. I want to go on another cruise. And so I've been going to Royal's website probably once a day trying to find a great deal.
That's rough, man. You need to stop.
Trying to find a great deal. There's not a great deal. So fortunately, it's like it's dying off.
Yeah.
And I can't, there's not, it's like, this is not going to happen. So, yeah.
So that comes to a point I'd like to make.
Yeah.
It's not about, you're right, it's not about fasting, but in fasting, I think is where I learned I don't need food so much.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But it was over a long period of time. It was not an expectation, but there was a period of time for several years that I fasted once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was Wednesdays and it was a full fast. But over time, it really helped me grasp to get control over that yeah. need. To have more or to need for me, it would have been in food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But here you just said I can't find a deal on the next cruise. So it's getting further away from me and I'm not having that desire. It's not as strong. So I think there might be some, it might be the one of the deadliest, the one of the sins that we're talking about that you could actually take a very tangible step and say, okay, I'm just going to fast from electronics for a day.
That's impossible. I work in IT.
Well, but yeah, but you know,
make it a Saturday,
right? But
that's fair.
You know, I'm not going to. You know, I'm going to skip it. I'm going to skip a meal. I'm going to skip this. I think it's the one thing that we could do to help us step forward in all of that, so we don't have that crave.
There are very few sins that can so easily be cut off at the pass. Because when it comes to pride, a lot of times that's honest before you know it. Anger happens in a moment. But for a lot of times, gluttony is the overindulgence of something. So if you can choose to start on the front end to not start, then you're further down the road. So it is unique in that way. Whereas I think when we talked about lust, it was unique in a different way. I think each sin can be unique. And when it comes to gluttony, it is simple to... It's not the word I want, but it's simpler, or it's at least a slower curveball. You can see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the effort to say, okay, You know what? So I just bought a new to me car. In about a year, I'm gonna have wandering eye again. So just
right.
Don't wander. I always want a new Bible. I don't know why. Who cares? It's a dumb thing to want.
I do too.
I know.
There are some things that sneak up on you in it though. But you can realize it. Like, you know what? I've been watching a lot of TV lately. Not necessarily speaking about me per se, but I've been there before where another night lost watching TV. Can't do that. But I can see it and head it off at the pass, like you said.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into how do we like take steps in this, like trying to overcome gluttony? Like, how do we take better steps in the opposite direction of consumerism? Fasting is one of them. So fasting and developing a spiritual hunger over your physical hunger. So it's not about legalism, but it's relying on our dependence on God. And so Matthew 4:4 would say, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So we kind of hit on that. Like when we intentionally fast and we pray, we're saying to ourselves, "I don't need this because I want to take this time to rely more on God." When my stomach is growling and I'm craving something, I want to crave God over than that one meal that I'm skipping or the whole day.
Do you guys consider fasting on other things legitimate? Like a legitimate use of fasting, like fasting from technology?
I've had this. I've had. I don't even. I don't want to say something and be offensive because of past experiences and just what I've gone through, but
I doubt you're going to offend any of us.
No,
I know, but if somebody is listening
sure.
I think
just say you can always edit it.
Say it in a nice way.
It's just I've gone back and forth with this a lot because I have fasted electronics and I have fasted social media, and it has been massively helpful in focusing on the Lord and in those times. And like when I wanted to click on the app of just whatever app and go scroll and doom scroll for hours on end, I would go to the Bible instead, and it was helpful in those times. But it's so hard because there was no electronics in Bible times, and it's just, I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this, and I've never landed somewhere. But I can say from personal experience, it has been beneficial when quote unquote fasting electronics or social media or whatever it was. It was beneficial for me personally. Whether or not I should call it fasting, I don't know.
I heard a story, and say if you had a surgery coming up and the doctor said, "Hey, you're gonna need to fast a day or so before we have the surgery, so go do that." And then you come back that day later, and the doctor's like, "So did you fast?" I'm like, "Well, I have fasted social media." He'd probably tell you to leave. Because there is some connection between depriving ourselves of food to depend more, because we need food to live. We don't need social media to live, right? So it's like there's something about saying, okay, I'm denying myself of this necessity to focus on God and getting closer with God, not just with my mind and my heart, but with my body as well.
Right, which is where I struggle to actually call what I did fasting.
But if it was beneficial,
then
that's okay.
It was beneficial in the sense that I wasn't doom scrolling for hours on it,
which is good.
But I didn't. I understand that, but like I still struggle calling it fasting because it is not putting my body through something.
Maybe your mind.
Maybe
with someone from Bible times.
I get the struggle that you're talking about.
Yeah,
maybe there needs to be a different word for it.
Right.
I can give up food, but don't take my memes.
I think I'd have a harder time giving up food if I'm being 100% honest. I did the Daniel fast, and I actually ended up in the hospital. So
that's a little
different. I can't do that ever again.
I don't think I'm going
to
talk about that.
You shouldn't mess around. Your body has too many weird things happening.
I got 6 kidney stones while on the Daniel fast.
Ooh.
Jeez.
It was bad. I ended up in the hospital.
Man.
And for everyone listening, I have a kidney disease. It's non-life-threatening, but I have hundreds of kidney stones.
Kidneys are mad spongy.
I got medullary sponge
Medullary sponge kidney disease.
That is what I have. Andrew knows more about it than I do. But anyway, I've got hundreds of kidney stones in each kidney. Whatever the Daniel Fast did to my body, released six of them. So
that's because part of the Daniel Fast is getting hit in the groin with a baseball bat?
Yes.
Is that part of it? Yeah.
I think it's high sodium.
Oh, okay.
It's being the NLT.
Dang. Dang.
If I would have thought of the message faster, I would have said
that. That would have been good one,
too. So Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great preacher from the 40s, did say, to make the matter complete, we would add that fasting, if we conceive it truly, must not only be confined to the question of food and drink. Fasting should really be made to include abstinence from anything which is legitimate in and of itself for the sake of some special spiritual purpose. Mm. There are many bodily functions which are right and normal and perfectly legitimate, but which for special, peculiar reasons in certain circumstances should be controlled. That is fasting. There, I suggest, is a kind of general definition of what is meant by fasting. So even some of the older guys would say,
wow. Okay.
So I think ultimately it comes down to the principle behind fasting. So what is the principle behind fasting? It's abstaining for spiritual purpose. So if that is the principle, then I think you could apply it to other things. I would just say, you know, no one in the Old Testament would have a category for some of the fastings we do. And that's not to downplay fasting of food, which I think is the primary way it's used. Right. But at the end of the day, I think the principle of fasting is saying, God, I love you more than even my ability to stay alive.
Yeah.
Right.
And so if that's the principle, and if we can use, and the other thing I thought of, so you're talking about fasting, I thought of, and you said in your past and doing it and it being weird, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their fasting may be seen by others. So I think the culture of fasting is, I want everybody to know I'm taking a social media fast.
Yes.
I want everybody to know I'm fasting from my smartphone. I mean, like you're doing pharisaical things when you do this stuff. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately, if the desire is there is to honor God and to, then just do it.
Right.
Just do it.
You don't have to talk about it.
We don't have to even call it, you don't have to call it a fast. I'm doing my Lent, my 40-day Lent social media fast. Okay, well, just stop it and just do it.
Yeah.
So
we talked a few episodes ago about, I think Brandon was saying, like, one time you were on a fast and someone offered to take you out for dinner. And you're like, how do I say no without telling you what I'm on a fast? Like,
it happens. Every time.
Yeah.
I'm also cheap. So I'm like, well, I guess this fast is blown. If you're going to buy me pie, I'm going. Sorry, bro.
That was yesterday.
Yeah. That's any day.
Yeah.
I think the thing about talking about these types of things is how do we speak both grace and freedom, because, you know, we're not prescribing that anyone take part in any sort of fast. You know, we're not prescribing it, because I think the problem with prescribing things like that is it doesn't get to the root of the issue. The root of the issue is your relationship with the Lord. Yeah. And if you're just fasting because whatever, because I would also say, like, I thought about not saying this, but I think the way our food is manufactured today, you can eat a sensible meal and still gain weight with a lot of factors, right? So
100%.
The weight you carry is not necessarily indicative of gluttony. Whereas maybe you could have made that argument 50, 60 years ago when food production was a little more, there's just better, more nutrients, less calories.
Europeans, great way.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, gluttony is I think, a uniquely American thing in that I think our food practices play a part of it. So
our lifestyle,
and our food brand. Yeah. So it's not just one or the other. But what I'm saying is, to look at somebody that's overweight, you could. That's not the smoking gun to say this person. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's where this one gets tricky, is because unlike pride that could be hidden forever, there might be this potential awkwardness of people think you're a glutton because of external factors that might or might not be completely in your control. So this is, again, needs to stay as a spiritual issue.
Yeah.
And whether it's a food thing or an entertainment thing or whatever, we have to be cognizant of the fact and give grace to people and say, one, you could just be struggling with it, or two, there could be other factors.
Yeah.
There could be a medical issue.
Exactly. You'd be taking a medicine that causes you to retain weight. I mean, these things are just possible.
Tons of things.
Any kind of thyroid thing. There's a whole bunch of things.
There's so many things.
And we can all argue all day long, well, your diet got your thyroid. Okay.
Okay, but that's not where I'm at today. So,
it doesn't matter. Like, it's ultimately, right. like, that's not the root of the... I mean, again, are we going to start just treating symptoms, or are we going to go for the spiritual roots and truths, which is what we need to do?
Exactly.
The setup in Ecclesiastes is the tediousness of life. Mm-hmm. Read the first few verses. In fact, it's in New Living Translation calls it a tragic existence, that we've come to this, life is just so tedious. And then he makes this statement that the eye cannot get enough and the ear cannot get enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're kind of stuck. Where are we going to go to get enough? To the things of the world or to God? Mm-hmm.
And we have another point that could probably go for that, but it was so practice self-control and moderation. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. So enjoying food and life is not sinful, but excess is.
It's like every other sin we've gone over so far. One of the ways to counteract it is to do the right way.
Mm-hmm.
In this case.
Oh, man, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just do it the right way.
Yeah.
People can't handle it. Like, isn't legalism the idea of, like, there could be danger there, so don't do it at all?
That's definitely a step. I mean, that's why, I mean, it's so many different denominations have, like, outlawed alcohol in their bylaws. Is because
you're too close to the danger zone.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the Bible says.
Like, that's a slippery slope.
Okay. Well, that's also a fallacy, by the way.
I had a debate about that the other day with somebody. So.
Did you really?
I mean, it's a thing. Yeah. It's definitely, it's like, there's a potential for sin. So we're just going to cut it out completely.
And required
to be. So was that what Adam and Eve did when they made the rule? You can't touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah. Because that's not what God told them.
Right. They made up their own rule to protect themselves. Guardrails are good. Yeah, right,
they could be.
But you can't. You can't just say you just need to do what you need to do or should be doing, right? Because I mean, working with a lot of at-risk kids, these kids have grown up with concepts and beliefs that are just straight up lies. Hmm. But if they did what they believed was right, it's not going to end well. Mm. You can't just say that to somebody.
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
That's good.
That was really good.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to think about. And I think gluttony is, again, the answer is never legalism. It's never prescribing things that won't actually solve the problem. And mm-hmm. I think in my own personal life, just with the way I'm hardwired and the way people around me are hardwired, like, I'm just more and more cognizant of the fact that, like, the answer is not prescribing guardrails that don't ultimately solve the problem, because it's not a guardrail problem. Ultimately, it's a desire problem. Mm-hmm. It's a heart problem. It's a desire that's much, much deeper than just, I need to make sure that I follow this diet plan where I just have my meat can be the size of my fist and I got to have some greens. I mean, those are all great things, but like if it's just there, we'll find a way to not keep it.
So with that, we can shift our focus from consumption to gratitude. So we can recognize that everything is a gift from God and should be used wisely. So 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that.
Okay, I got to ask this question because when someone brought it up earlier, I wanted to ask and I forgot to. How do you overcome the desire to feel like you're missing out? How do you come over the desire to say, okay, everybody I know at my age is going there, doing this, doing that, and you're telling me that like heaven's going to be great, but I just got to endure it now? How do we get over that?
Are you talking about
that's a great question. So when Satan said to Eve, is it true?
Yeah.
That God will not allow you to eat from the trees of the garden? Is that not the seed that he is planting that you are missing? You're going to miss out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's literally the temptation to pull us into all of that.
So you're saying the first sin was FOMO? That's crazy.
That's a really good thought because it's something like, personally, that's something I struggle with.
We all do.
So bad. Like, and this is like, I'm talking about like career-wise. I'm sitting here looking around at my friends. I'm like, man, they're all getting better jobs than me.
Not everybody, you know.
Like, I'm just looking. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Do I need to be doing something else? I need to be like putting other, like, do I need to be learning more things or hustling more just to be like, get to this status so people think that I'm not just wasting my life away?
Just for the record, I don't think anyone sitting at this table thinks you're wasting your life.
That's true.
And we are your friends.
Yeah, we're the real people you're talking about. We don't
know that. Okay, just for the record, Brandon is probably the main go-to at his job. He is the one the boss is calling. The owner of the company is calling. If there's a problem, if there's something needed, Brandon is the man at that place. And that is something that Brandon doesn't see when he's talking about this stuff. He just thinks that his job sucks. Right?
Well,
am I wrong in saying that?
It's not what I thought I would be doing with my life.
Okay, understandably so, but you are still number one call when something needs to happen because you're
the guy.
You're the guy.
You know, can I put a spiritual bent on this?
Please.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Because
you're welcome.
Stop describing me.
Get this out of here.
Stop saying nice
because
things about me.
God puts people in every area of life, every level of life, every nuance of life. So he has his followers that are playing in the NFL that sit down with the Trumps of the world, right? But he's also got all the followers in all the other areas of life as well, right? Regardless of where it is. So what does God, why does God have you in that position? Not, I wish I was in a different position, because now we do kind of are talking about gluttony in some way that we want the more.
Yeah.
But like your question was an incredible question. How? What if I'm missing out? Right? Are we? Because that goes counter to contentment.
Yeah, but how do you fight it? Yeah, we all know.
I don't know.
Contentment.
We need
is
to wait till the envy episode.
You can't. You can't.
We did that.
Oh, yeah,
last
we did.
Week.
Yeah, we did.
You can't gain contentment. It's literally a decision. It's the only way to get to contentment is to say, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Cool. I don't know how to do that.
How?
No.
No, like genuinely, I have no idea because I'm not in the career mindset of that. I'm in the, like, my friends are doing something and I can't go, or I'm whatever the situation is, and I'm not there. Like, I'm missing out on the cool, fun thing that they're doing, and I feel like, and I deserve to be there, and I feel like I want
that word.
I know exactly, exactly. That's why I said it. I feel like for whatever reason, I should be there too. And then I start playing the victim card, and I get all sad and. Sometimes I cry, and sometimes it's just the victim mentality really sets in, and then I start just stewing and not in anger, but in sadness. It used to be anger. It's not anger anymore. It's sadness now. And I don't know. I don't know how else to explain that, because I don't know how to just do it. Yeah. And the biblical answer is, you know, the Lord has to change my heart, and I need to ask the Lord for help in that, but I do, and it doesn't change. And I'm not saying that the Lord can't change me. I'm saying that it hasn't happened yet. And in the meantime, I'm still having those FOMO moments, and it hasn't gone away. So
my counselor, when I talk to him, I would tell him all these thoughts I had, and he's like, this is all crap thinking. Like, it's not true.
Yeah.
90% of this is true. And if it is true, some of it is true, does it actually matter? And like, so anytime I feel myself just starting to like spiral, I'm like, was this actually true? Did I actually hear this, or am I just making this up? And most of the time, I'm just making it up. But it's hard in that moment. I'm not trying to diminish your thought at all. Like, it's hard in the moment to be like, is this real or not? Because I feel this way. And so,
well, feelings lie.
Yeah, feelings lie to us. But it's like, in the moment, I'm like, man, I really do feel like maybe they're boxing me out, or they're keeping me at an arm's distance. And so that gluttonous thought process of all negative thought coming up and making things up. And because, I mean, our brain, like, God made our brains so genuine and unique to, like, each of us. Like, we're not just hardwired the same. Mm-hmm. And so I find that compelling and beautiful. But I also, it's like, man, sin comes into it. And so now we're just playing, we're pinballing, like, back and forth. Like, man, is this someone, blah, 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 blah. Like, so I don't want to diminish that from you either. And
no, I don't feel like you are.
No, but I also be like, most of the time I'm thinking like crap, like it's just a crap show in my brain. So and just acknowledging it, I'm like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I think that's important, because while I say contentment is a choice, it's not like one that you just make once and you're done.
Right.
It's like life. You come up against it and you have to remind yourself, you have to have this self-talk that God loves me. He's got it under control. And he wants the best for me. So I have to understand that I'm in where I need to be. I'm where God wants me. And it has to be a self-talk that's almost always there.
Yeah. A lot of mine does have to do with trauma. It's just, I mean, not like I'm special. Like, everyone's got trauma. Everyone's got something.
I was told I don't. I'm a very white bread life.
You don't have trauma?
I don't know.
I don't believe that.
I don't know what it
looks like. I don't believe that for 2 seconds. But just everyone's got trauma. Everyone has their own version of some sort of trauma. And
the body keeps the score.
The older I get, I feel like the more anxiety I get. And that anxiety just feels like it's a crushing load.
Oh, yeah.
Then that FOMO sets in, and then the gluttonous thoughts set in of, why me, and I deserve better, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Hey, we can, you know what we could do with that? Instead of thinking of ourselves, we can think of others.
Wow.
Tell me more.
Brian. Yeah,
to sit and think of others is hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, for sure.
But maybe I could get connected somewhere where I could invest my time in something or someone mm-hmm. of greater purpose, like volunteering kind of things.
Yeah. So, like, serving others instead of indulging on ourselves. So, it'd be gluttony is self-focused, but generosity is Christ-focused. So, instead of excess, how can we feed the hungry? I'm not saying physical hunger, but maybe spiritual hunger.
Yeah.
Maybe there's someone at your church you can invest time into that you could speak to them a little bit clearer than maybe the person before them did. Or you can, like Jim said, we can go to organizations that are centered around serving others, like YFC or Gospel Mission or the Crittenden Center, anything like that, at least in our area. But in your areas, we've all got some sort of Gospel Mission outreach or a Salvation Army, anything like that. Like, something that we can be like, okay, let me help someone else. Not to make myself known, but to make Christ known.
Yep, which is the ultimate goal.
Because then wouldn't you think that's meeting that tension of I deserve, but it's better to give than it is to receive?
I think so. I mean, I was thinking about the example of like FOMO. Well, if I have FOMO, fear of missing out, and I know there are people out there that maybe feel the same way and maybe aren't invited to others. So, and I say this not saying, well, I should do something counter to all my friends and just, oh, you won't invite me anywhere, fine, I'm gonna make my own friends. But at the same time, like, I'm just thinking about people that I've been talking to this week that just said, hey, I don't have any real connections. I'd like to make some more. And I got to thinking, I'm like, I've got ways that I could help this person connect. I've never even thought about bringing them along, inviting them anywhere. And it's like, that's really shame on me, like, to do that. And so I look at it like one of the things that I can give is in that scenario is like, I could, if I feel like I'm missing out, well, maybe I could solve that for somebody else. I could say, if you're missing out, maybe I can have you and your wife over for dinner or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And so I've always thought that, like, that's when I take my eyes off of myself, you know, I realize, okay, there's more here that I can do than just wallow in my own stuff because I
I'm first bout Hall of Famer when it comes to that. But it'd be nice to do that. Yeah. So and then to me it's like remembering the text, just remembering the promises of God. If God says that godliness with contentment is great gain, I need to just remember that and believe it. Like to Jim's point, it's a choice. And then if that's true, because the Bible says it is, then I trust the promise that God, if that's true, show me. And two, I'm just going to keep my feet moving and I'm going to go and do this or do that. And for me, it's not necessarily like philanthropy or like going and doing something out there. It's more of like, I got plenty of people around me that I could probably do a better job of caring for. I mean, biological family or church or otherwise. Yeah. So there's no shortage of things to do on that front. So that's, I mean, I don't typically go to like global service. Who can I actually affect now? Like if I go and serve a meal to a homeless shelter, that's a great thing. But there's like 18 people at our church that know my name that have never been at my house for dinner. That's a pretty easy start.
Well, it's a step.
Yeah.
It's an action. Like it's not just gonna fall in your lap.
Right.
You kinda have to make some choices. You have to do some things. I think sometimes we're like, well, the perfect timing will show up and then I'll be able to do it. Usually never.
The sky is cloudy. I'm not going to plant today.
Yeah.
I think there's a proverb says something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we have any extra thought? We solved gluttony.
Yeah.
Solved?
We solved it, Brandon. Yep. My dad. Would have this little saying. He's got 100 of them, but one of them was do something, even if it's wrong.
Can't steer a parked car.
Well, there's something I read today that's like most of the time when you try something, you're probably going to fail, but just keep trying and keep going forward, and the thing will land. Something will land.
We are in a culture that it's almost like we're not allowed to fail. We feel like it's that we shouldn't fail. The reality is, if you're going to hit the ball, you're going to fail a lot more. You're not going to hit the ball unless you swing the bat.
Yeah.
Right. So failure is a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
True.
It's in fact, it's a huge, probably more times than not, success only comes through failure.
Yeah.
So
does a lot of learning. Like you don't learn very much when you get something right. You learn a lot more when you screw it up.
Yeah, because you try and figure out why you did it wrong.
And I think God works and gives grace when we fail. I mean, if we could be self-sufficient, there's no need for Christ.
For sure. So to sum this episode up, so living counterculturally means choosing simplicity over excess. Practicing gratitude, contentment, and self-control as acts of worship. And then I want to challenge the listeners. So does what you consume draw you closer to Jesus, or does it dull your spiritual hunger?
Super good. We should have started with that question.
I know.
That's a good question.
I want to leave that to the audience. Yeah.
It's a good place.
I want to leave that to the audience, because most of you will see this and be like, well, I don't struggle with this. I'm pretty sure you do.
Can you drive in your car without going from podcast to podcast?
Yeah.
If you can't,
You've got a gluttony problem.
Maybe you're dulling yourself spiritually, even though you might be listening to Christian podcasts.
Yeah.
As one example.
Oh, for sure. I think we all good.
Yeah.
We're all set.
Yeah. I don't want to do too much more. I feel like we're kind of getting...
Oh, we're getting...
A little excessive.
We're
a little bit. you want to give our tags?
Yeah. Well, we got canceled on X.
Did we?
Yep. 2 days ago because of guideline... policy.
What did we do?
They said we're a fake account. So I'm trying to get it back. But
I felt fake.
Damn. Yeah, they said we're a fake account.
We're bots?
Well, they think we're a bot.
This is because
I couldn't click on all the bicycles in time.
I got an email, dude. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I'm trying to get us back on X. We have two posts, so maybe that's why they think we're fake, because in the 2 weeks we've had the account, we have two posts.
But I haven't posted in years, and they let me go back whenever I want.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. And anyway, so we got Instagram, we got Facebook, we got Brandon's Substack, we've got Elect Exiles with Brett and Cam, and we've still are getting Outsiders Kids off the ground. We talked about that. We announced that last time. I forgot we announced it last time until I was editing. So we announced
it with nothing ready.
We announced it with saying, hey, we're getting things ready. It's going to be a minute before it comes out, but be prepared. It is coming. We got some work to do, but we're still getting excited about it.
There's a lot churning.
There's a lot going on.
The tank.
A lot going on that we're pretty dang excited about. Did I hit everything?
I think so. Leave comments. We want to engage with you.
Yes, thank you. Yes, please. So
like, subscribe, share. Yes. Tell the world.
Tell us.
Tell everybody.
Tell us what you think about
us.
We will
do a mailbag episode if you give us some questions.
Oh, my gosh, yes. We'll send them in. If you're our friends, text us.
Yeah. Q&R.
And
we know our friends listen. They talk to us about it. Talk to us.
Ask us a dumb question or a hard one, and we'll see how we do.
We only got two episodes left in this series. What do you think we should do next? Even though we already know.
Next being like four series from now.
We only have one.
Oh, okay.
In the bag, right?
Yeah, only got one.
Right, yeah.
Right. Oh, hey, and also, if you're a new listener, let us know how you found us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where
we'd
are you from?
No.
Where are you from? How'd you hear about us? What's your name?
Who you is?
What's your name? You don't.
New phone. Who dis?
What's your social security number? If you're from a different, if you're from a different country,
how do you feel about buying us a cup of coffee?
Yeah. Oh, Patreon. Buy me a coffee. Yeah. Those are there too.
All right.
Cool. All right.
All right.
Well, this has been Outsiders Podcast. We will. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to us. We love you.
Bye. Bye.
Peace.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.